You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone. From the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
Hey,
turn around.
Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning and welcome to Crossroads. This is our 7th hour broadcast. We come to you on the first Tuesday of each month for a 2-hour show. We don't have a guest for the 2nd hour. The reason why, we wanted to hear from you. All of the budget cuts, the SNAP benefits, people being kicked off on the job call, people being deported in countries that can't speak the language. Students, we wanted to get your feedback, your take on what's going on and how we feel about this. Do you have any hope? Are you optimistic about what's going on in that country? Or what's your take? We just want to hear from you. Because a lot of times we bring you the show and we bring it to you. Now we want to hear from you what's going on. Because this is an unusual time in America. I've never seen what's happening with the civil rights movement being threatened. In fact, you'll get what we call the grapevine. Let me go back to the grapevine. Get this up. The grapevine is information that you can use. Hey. The Supreme Court, with its 63 Republicans appointed majority, appears ready to kneecap what remains of the Voting Rights Act protection for minority political representation. During Wednesday's oral argument in Louisiana, at least 5 conservatives just seemed ready to weaken and destroy the civil rights law that it would no longer stop white majorities from locking racial minorities out of elected office. After oral arguments, it's clear that this cornerstone of American multi-racial democracy is a great thing. Also, the hidden heart, excuse me, I can't stop crying. How prisons affect black men's mental health long after they've been released. Studies show that black men who have experienced incarceration have higher rates of PTSD, depression, and psychological distress compared to black men who have never been incarcerated. When released, older incarcerated people have incredibly low recidivism rates, and yet are still routinely denied parole or an opportunity to get out of prison to prove themselves. And that's been what I call the grapevine, a little small tidbit of the grapevine. We're talking about, with my wife joining me, Martine, the Kichi, our co-host. She's in and out. She's in the car going to another place. Our guest we just had for the previous hour has been Kamal Bin Ali, one of the owners of Ben's Chili Bowl, and he's written a book called Ascend. And that book is powerful. It needs to be in schools. It needs to be available to those folk who have reached. While we were talking, he had one of the young kids from a part of Washington, D.C. that people don't visit called Simple City. He goes all over the city. That's what I said before in the previous hour. You get more than a hot dog or a hash smoke when you go to Ben's Chili Bowl. You get knowledge. You get insight. You get experience. You get folk who are committed. Because they want to do it. They don't ask for nothing back in return. They just do what they do because that's the kind of people they are. So this morning, the phone number to call is 202 202-588-0893. We want to hear from you. There's so much going on TV every day. There's something about the president saying this or doing this. There's different issues coming up. And we want to hear what your take is, because that helps us to formulate what shows we can do based on what we hear from you. So we need to hear from you to let us know what you're thinking, how you're feeling about what's going on in our country. As I said previously, 7 out of every 10 black males in America have a criminal record, been arrested or stopped or incarcerated. 7 out of 10. So that means 3 are not included. But the 3 that's not included in that 7, everybody has a friend, family member, brother, loved one, somebody in prison that you receive a phone call from or you send money to. So the criminal justice system impacts all of the black community, the entire black community. Whether you are directly connected or not, it impacts us all. And this thing about the snap cuts, there's some collateral consequences. If you have a criminal record, 21 states deny food stamp benefits, SNAP program to people with criminal records. It depends on your, it's got to be a drug charge. So there's a bill in Congress to restore this ban or move this ban out of the way to let people with criminal records. There's 21 states refuse to allow you to be on food stamps. South Carolina is the only state that you offer food stamps. You cannot get on food stamps for the rest of your entire life.
Jiggy boogie.
Yes, I Googled it, and you can Google it. So don't just take our word.
Right.
Some of the stories that we bring you on the grapevine, we get from the Marshalls Project, the Sentencing Project, different at the Reentry Center.
Prison News.
Prison News, Prison Legal News, Jailhouse Lawyers. We get all our stories that we use on grapevine from these different sources that you can access on the Internet. If you want to follow up on the full, complete story, because all we give is just a little teaser, a taste of it. So you can go to that. But right now, we want to hear from you. This is the end of the year, and we come up in a new year. We want to plan some dynamic, innovative, creative, and inspiring shows. And in order to do that, we need that information from you, our listeners. And for everybody that's in there, if we could take and say a prayer for our good friend Rick, who calls in every week from Germany. Keep him in your prayers and hope that his health improves. And we miss you, Rick. We love you. And keep in touch with the Crossroads family.
Yes, and today is the vote day for many of us. And people, I hope you know by now that your vote does matter. So please do not have the attitude that my vote doesn't matter, because why are they trying to keep you from voting if it didn't matter? Why were our ancestors killed and hung and all these crazy, how many jelly beans in this jar so you can vote? We got to stop the foolishness. We have the power, people. Know your worth, people. We have the power. But please vote. Your vote does matter. You see what's happening in this country. Do you want that to continue?
Yes.
Vote the right way. Vote.
Our co-host and teacher is, I guess she's moving, she's mobile. But the phone number to call is 202-588-0893. And I want to reiterate what we said at the previous hour, that the city council in D.C. is considering legislation to impose a longer curfew for our youth because of what happened over the weekend on Halloween night down on the waterfront, the wharf. 200-300 kids got kind of rowdy in this. Terrorizing, but then did nobody get shot, hurt, or killed. But the kids do that because there's no place else for them to go with the lights bright and new restaurants. And the problem, one of the problems is they can't go into the restaurants. The food is too expensive. The kids are not working. They don't have no income. And we don't have any programs designed for these kids. Who gonna force somebody to stay in the house all day long?
Yeah.
Due to a curfew. And as I said before, there's over 50,000 kids enrolled in the D.C. public schools, and only 200-300 was involved in this situation at the waterfront. Why punish 49,700 kids with 200-300 do? That's not right. The kids should be involved in decision making. They should be at the city council hearing. You should have a city a youth on the city council in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
A junior mayor or youth man, and give them some power, something they can do. The kids are being excluded, ignored, and disregarded. And when they strike out, that's their way of saying, hey, we're here.
See me.
See us. Okay?
Right.
So we need to do something about that. Then the phone number to call, if you want to call in with an idea, question, or just share your feelings. The phone number is 202-588-0893. We need to hear from you so we know exactly what we can do in putting our show together. Ain't that right, baby?
Yeah, we need 24-hour rec centers or community centers, whatever you want to call them. We got people who can do this. We need volunteers. We need mentors, real mentors, not pedophiles. We need open facilities for our children. I mean, where they going to go? Like you say, you can't keep children in the house. Everybody can't pay for the fuse.
That's it. Nikisha, she's still moving in her vehicle on the way to another
engagement.
Boy, she is one busy lady.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
you're getting it done.
This is Roach Brown and Mertine bringing you Crossroads live from the world famous Ben's Chili, but we're on the H Street location. The original Ben's is being remodeled. There's six locations in Ben's. And also, Ben's is all over the city. You can buy them at Costco. You can buy Chili Dogs, Haslow. And what they're doing is creating jobs. We mentioned at the beginning of the first hour, they're employees at Ben's. They've been there for 30, 40 years. And that's what I said before. They're selling more than hot dogs and hash smokes. When you got somebody who's a college graduate from Howard University to work at Ben's Chili Bowl for 40 years, and they still come back. So it's more than just the food. It's the atmosphere. It's the vibe. It's the people. It's what you feel, the hospitality when you're coming in. So you just don't eat. You enjoy yourself, and you feel safe and comfortable. So we need more places like this all over the city. So if you want to call in and share your question or comment or what we can do or what you think need to be done to deal with our youth, this SNAP program where they're cutting off 42 million people. And people, that hurts. If we can spend $20 billion to send to Argentina, $300 billion to Ukraine. He gave a party the other night at Mar-a-Lago, a Halloween party called the Gatsby Party. Cost a few $1 million. $300 million for the ballroom that the president is proposing. Folks, with that kind of money, we can stop crime or we can reduce it. I like to throw out a challenge too. There's three people I know that if they came on board, we can make Washington, D.C. a model for the world. Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, and LeBron James. If they came together with their resources and help, you'll watch Washington, D.C. be the most safest, beautifulest city in the world. Let's make America be what America's supposed to be. Because right now, it ain't nowhere near. Folks coming out of prison don't have no medication. This SNAP program that's being cut and eliminated, there's some collateral consequences. There are lawyers impacted by the SNAP. Because the funds have been cut and they've not been dispersed, lawyers are refusing to take cases of men and women who are going to court because they've not been paid. So the SNAP benefit, people don't eat, but you can't get released. Also because of this, men and women are scheduled to be released, go to the halfway house, make parole, go to the hospital. They can't go because the SNAP cut is affecting the staff. And the staff are not coming in because they can't afford to pay their bills. As a consequence, the inmates are suffering, and the collateral consequences of this SNAP budget cuts is impacting prisoners, ex-prisoners. You can't go to the halfway house. The staff is short. You got to pay for the electronic monitoring when you come out. So SNAP is not only affecting people who receive the benefits, it's also because of the money being cut and the government being shut down. This impacting every aspect of our lives. And as time, go by, you see another issue that's affecting us because of the shutdown and the SNAP benefits. So, folks, we doing what we do, Martine and I. All we do is bring in the news and hoping somebody can get a spot and take that spark and make something happen.
And I think one thing, people, we have to realize that we have the power. The people have the power. And we need to be clear that Black folks, we are still paying. We are still enslaved in this country. We are still paying for bail, probation, like you say, buying your own toiletries in prison. How insane is that? Yes. Women have to pay for sanitary napkins in prison. Are you serious? So we have the power, people. We can fight. Just stand. And fighting doesn't mean physical fighting. It means talking, speaking the truth, starting a change.org or the color of change, anything that is getting on your last nerve, start a petition. We got the power. We really do, because we are still paying for this country, y'all, Black folks. And we at the bottom of the hole, but we are still paying everybody else at our expense. And
we have changing. We have anybody on the line, Mike, when it calls? All right, the phone number to call is
202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. I just want you to know we are powerful as a people. And there's no fear. There's no reason to fear. So do not fear what's going on, because we were raised by faith. That's the only reason we still here. Our ancestors had faith, and they had less to work with than what we have to work with.
So, you know, and something else, when we go through rough times like this, they say tough times make tough people. And what's going on right now, we've been through things a lot worse than this. But we just got to hang in there, hold on, believe that we're going to win, and don't give up. Don't ever, ever, ever quit. I was sent to prison at 21 years old and got a life sentence. And I was told I would never, ever come home. I would die in prison. And I went into prison and I was a damn fool. I did everything you wasn't supposed to do. Why should I obey the rules when I'm going to die? I ain't never going nowhere. So the rules didn't matter to me. And I walked around in prison and didn't pay no mind, but I didn't quit. You don't quit. And I found a way to come out of prison by writing poems and plays. So no matter how dark it gets, and if folks, it's dark and it's going to get darker, but you can make it. Just yeah. Don't quit. We'll take our first call. Come on, Mike. First caller, you're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Hey, good morning. Hello. How you doing, Roach?
How you doing?
Hello.
Your name?
I prefer not to.
Okay.
I just have a comment. Not have a comment. To me, when you were talking about a lot of these issues, the thing they show on TV, when you watch the TV, they just show a whole bunch of young people running. I like they don't have no control. And that's the image they like to show to the public in general.
Yeah.
And when that goes down, it gets the people think a certain way. Even the people themselves, they think a certain way about their young people, and they think a certain way about themselves. And that's something I think people need to reject and look at a lot of things that doesn't make sense. They had a thing about last week, I think, on a football field. They showed the football field supposed to be recovered or whatever for football season. And it showed that the contractors, whoever was in charge of it, they put glass and stuff on their football field. And I said to myself now, huh?
They put glass, broken glass on the
field? It was glass on the field. I saw it on the thing. So who in the world going to get a contractor that's going to put glass on the field when you're supposed to be surfing the field, a football player? Then they showed some of the players to say that guy got hurt his leg and he hurt himself and things like that. But a lot of things, we don't demand excellency in our own people, from our own people. We get people elected.
Yes.
We ignore them for what they're not competent to us. They don't hold them accountable. It's a lot of situations. Some things is federal, some of it's local. But we should deal with all of it, because somebody's is cutting the people short. And another thing,
in the park,
I went down there a couple of months ago, and they had the bathroom locked. And I said, now, me, myself, as a man, you know, we can go mostly anywhere. But I said, what are women going to do? But these are the type of things that they do to Black people. And you go down to the park, I said, well, don't nobody but Black people come down across the park. I lived over there for almost, 20-some years since I come to D.C., But you know, those type of things that people don't make an issue of. They need to call the federal government and the local government and local council guy over there in Ward 8. But those type of things that we tolerate, and we don't ask for anything because we don't get nothing because we don't ask for nothing. You know, and I agree with what Martine said, that people have the power, but that people got to be organized and recognize their interests. What your interest is at stake, you have to stand up for and fight for. If you don't fight for it, you're going to lose it. And you suffer for it. But that's all I have to say, Rose and Martine.
Thank you.
Y'all have
thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you, man. Thank you. Our next caller, please. Question or comment? Hello, are you on air?
I'm on air.
Yes.
How you doing today? How you doing today?
How you doing?
All right. I've had better days before. But, as far as the kids, you know, the kids, they just need to really understand that despite the problems or despite whatever it is going on, that, just, you know, way in the balances, that wasn't going to be a solution going down there around on people. And that was more problems than it was worth. It's been better off than finding you a library or something, which are open. And then try to, you know, because the images that they put out wasn't AI generated. And just got to try to find a way to work with somebody, such as when Marion Barry was in power. He figured out a way to work out something with people who could do something for them and said, listen, here's the deal.
Put the kids
in position where they, you know, eliminate the excuse. Give them, we worked from, it was like a week out of school. We went to work all the way up to almost a week before school started. We worked that entire summer. And so he worked out a deal with the government to say, don't just give these kids eyeball jobs, sweeping floors. Give them, you know, jobs whereby if they can't find anything else, they already have the 2 or 3 years experience, and there are many people to this day who probably retired now from that same program. So that'll put a little bit of pressure on these city council people. They can do the curfews, but then are you following the model that Marion Barry set? Are you working with those same businesses down there that are complaining about the kids? Are you working with those businesses to give them incentives or give them some sort of reason, say, listen, you know, you hire a certain amount of these kids and, you know, this would be beneficial.
There you go.
And then the kids that have the money, and then you can put the money back into the system and you just get the ball rolling in that way. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate what you're saying. I'm going to take you're right. The businesses down on the waterfront all over the city who complain about the youth, they ought to come out of them businesses, hire some of the kids, and have a kid or youth night down on the waterfront where all the kids can come down there because they want to enjoy this lavish restaurants and beautiful scenery and decor. But they're being shut out. So I'm glad you said what you said. Thank you. We'll take our next caller. All right, Mike. Next caller, you're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Yeah, my name is Earl Kent.
Yes,
and I'm with... how you doing? Listen, I am an active member with Training Our Voices for a Second Chance. I've become an advocate.
Can you speak up a little louder?
I've become an advocate for the youth here in Washington, D.C. And I want to say this. You know, once they took down and shut down all the basketball courts and boys and girls clubs, that alone put the youth out there to just wander around with nothing to do. Now, as an active advocate with the D.C. government for the advocating for youth, I suggest that once we go down to the Appropriation Funds Committee and hear what they have to say with the Senate and Congress down in the Wilson Building, you know, we have to give funds available to open up these boys and girls clubs and maybe get some basketball courts put up, well-lit areas, give these children something to do. You know, they don't have anything to do.
There you go.
Thank you.
We'll take our next caller. Question or comment, please. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning, Emma. I'm on the air.
Yes, you are, darling.
Yes. Good morning, Martine, Roach Brown, Nakichi. This is Rhodesia Mason calling in. And this is what I want to talk about on this morning concerning myself A lot of people here in Southeast consider me, and they're trying to adopt me as a D.C. resident. I've been living here in this one place for 15 years. And this is what I want to talk about. You need to get rid of the mayor. She needs to not be reelected. And a lot of your council people. I'm legally blind, and I'm 62 years of age. And I called in to the program, and I asked for an attorney. And I didn't have anybody to call me back. I've been looking for an attorney for 3 months. I've been paying rent. I've been paying Pepco Utility for somebody who lived in a two-bedroom apartment unit across the hallway from me that I never lived in for over 12 years. Now, the D.C. Department of Human Services put Bodisha Mason in this one-bedroom apartment unit, and how could they not make a mistake, put on all my documents, that I'm in 102 and you put 104. So I've been paying for my neighbor's utility bills for over 12 years. I have at least 50 to 100 witnesses between Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. I'm originally from Alexandria, Virginia, from the church in the community. I don't start any trouble here. I'm the last one that's left here. They're renovating the buildings, and this is what I want to make reference to our race, our people, Christian and non-Christian. Some of the most jealous and unjustifiable people that don't want to do right by our own race comes out of our own communities, not just in the District of Columbia, but in Virginia, too. As a Christian, a Bible-practicing Christian, I need an attorney. Now, the D.C. Permanent Supportive Housing Program, under your chief of staff, Mr. David Ross, we wrote him. You have a new director over there. Why can't they fix this problem? I've been trying to fix it for over 2 years. Mrs. Brenda Meese in Virginia, all of my... Virginia.
Let me say this. What's your name?
Because it's a... I'm Sister Rodisha Mason, Brother Roach, and Sister Martine, and Hi Nikichi. I've been living in this apartment for 15 years as of October the 25th of 2010. The D.C. Department of Human Services put me here. I'm having trouble with them reimbursing me and to acknowledge that they put me in the one-bedroom apartment unit.
Excuse me. Let me say this. I hear you got a serious issue. Stay on the phone and give your phone number to Mike, the engineer, and we'll contact you and give you somebody you can contact who might be able to help you with your situation.
A landlord, okay? And attorney, because I want to see them. I'm going to tell you on the radio.
Give your number to Mike, the engineer.
They're discriminating against me. They put me here.
Okay. It's gonna be beside.
Your number to the engineer, and we'll contact you and have somebody come on and be in touch with you to see what they can do to help out. Okay. Thank you, Rhodesia. We'll take our next caller. We're asking for whatever topics you think that you'd like to see us do here on Crossroads. This is an opportunity for you to have an input on what you hear coming off the airwaves. So if you got a question or a comment about something that you like to hear or you think we should cover, because we've been covering almost everything you can imagine, we'll take our next caller. All right, Mike, take our next caller. Question or comment, please. Hello.
Hello, my name is Lisa.
Speak up, please.
Can you speak up, please?
Hi, my name is Lisa. How are you today?
Okay.
Lisa.
So my comment was about the youth, because that this scenery or this placement that a lot of new people have about youth is the same comment from the 80s, the 60s, when, you know, the youth used to jump into the pool in front of Union Station because they couldn't have a place to swim. But then when they opened up other spaces, they didn't invite them in. So even like the tennis court programs that they had in the 80s and 90s in D.C., that's when they allowed them to come in. I think a lot of adults forget that they too were children.
Yeah,
and they don't take into effect in their heart and their moral compass, that they too don't want to be inside of an in-structure building. So those community centers that everybody's screaming about, no teenager wants to go inside of there. That's why they're outside, because they're seeing people who are just a few years older than them outside. And so instead of having investors come in and make things just for us and not inclusive to youth and elders, especially people who are disabled, it seems like they're making a structure of a city just for them. people who are over 21, people who make a great deal of money, make more than $100,000. That is the normal income in D.C. now. It's only, I think, $80,000 in Maryland, and it's $200,000 in Virginia. That is the poverty level. So we're just thinking about, we're thinking about ourselves at all times. We're not thinking about all aspects of ourselves at all times. We're neglecting people we're going to need in 5 years. I promise anybody's over the age of 21, in 5 years, you're going to need those young people you were just talking horrible things about, making very solicit comments. You're going to need every single one of them for every single need that you have. So I promise, and I hope this is broadcasted very loudly, if you own a business, you should have shook a hand today and said, good morning, good afternoon. Would you like to work at my business? Would you like to intern, fellowship? Would you like to learn anything that I have going on, including me? Because that opening up means you too have a future. Without these youth, you don't have a future.
Thank you. Thank you. You're right. On top of that, we just like to add that when you see these kids walking down the street, walk over to them, say, hello, how you doing? Break the ice. It's too much distance between us and our youth. Somebody has to break the ice, and it's up to us as the adults to break the ice. And once you break the ice, you'd be amazed and surprised how intelligent some of these kids are and how they're willing. Nobody want to die. They don't want to go to jail, but they don't have many options. There's very few chances or things that these kids can do.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. We'll take our next caller, please.
Well, this is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. The phones are ringing off the line. Next caller, please.
Next caller.
Hello.
Hello, you're on air. Question or comment, please. Hello.
Cut me off.
Go ahead, you're on air. We can get you. Come on.
We can hear you.
Come on, we can hear you. Go ahead, Mike. Go to the next caller. Go to the next caller, Mike. Hello, you're on air. Question or comment, please.
Hello, good morning. Hello. I am calling from H Street, D.C., and I had a comment about privatization. So the privatization of businesses, of the privatization of the carceral system, as we know, is a problem. The privatization of the policing of our kids is a problem. The privatization of everything is a problem. Exclusivity has always been a product to sell. The reason why the Neiman Marcus catalog would have ridiculous products like his and her elephants or airplanes and things like that in the back of the holiday catalog is because it's prohibitively expensive, and people will buy things not because they need them. Very often, one thing that's been tested in the luxury market is selling products that are prohibitively expensive because they're buying the exclusivity. They only feel better because they have something that nobody else can have and can have access to. This is actually important to some people in this world. And one of those things I want to call out is that one of the problems with privatizing everything is that these private businesses will still continue to sell exclusivity as a product, and it becomes corruption. People can order their little his and hers just from Neiman Marcus all they want if they can afford it, as long as it's not at the expense of those they employ. But that's when corruption happens. And one of those examples of corruption is the exclusivity of a public place like the Wharf. I get that private businesses are attract people, but that's not the only reason for its existence. The Wharf exists because it is a natural feature. It is a waterfront property. It is a place where people who live on land can
it's
go
an
and enjoy
beautiful,
the water
right.
and enjoy the wind. And there are actually public parks that surround it, such as Banneker Park, Elnor Holmes Norton Park, and so on and so forth. I'm bringing this up because as a resident of that community, even I have experienced some of the corruption of that exclusive. So the reason why they want to quell and keep the youth out of that area, and then, like, of course, the prohibitive cost of products there, the policing of that area with not just public cops that our taxes pay for, but they have their own security. They're privatizing the policing of that place. As a resident, as a resident, my daughter and I, so I had to take my daughter to the hospital many times. She has a very rare condition, and even there have been times when I've had to call the ambulance more than once, for not only for her, but at one point I was running across the house to take care of something for her. I fell and broke my toe. So there have been times when this is at least three different incidents where we've had to call the ambulance. All three of those times, the Southwest Business Improvement District security personnel walked up to the ambulance drivers, to the EMTs, and said, "Who's in there?"
What?
Do you not? Yes. I kid you not. I've been meaning to write a statement. See, the thing about complaining to the ANC is that you have to write a whole essay before you and turn it in however many hours before the next ANC meeting. And when you have a child with special needs and you don't have any extra
help. Let me ask you this. Based on what you said, what do you suggest need to be done?
Instructed. There needs to be a mandated instruction on what HIPAA laws are, because all of the EMTs said, "I would lose my job if I answer your question." The fact that they're bold enough to ask that question is almost asinine to me. I've had those same security personnel then turn to me and say, "So what happened? I just have to make a report from my boss. I'm just forced to do this." And they're using people who need money to do that. Like the rich are using people who need money to do the dirty work. So, I think what needs to be done is have a focus on how privatization corrupts things.
We need to wrap it up. Kenya, I want to thank you for what you're saying.
Sure. I just wanted to make that point is all.
Thank you. Thank you. Well taken. We'll take our next caller. We got several more callers on. We're trying to get everybody in. Next caller, you're on the air.
This is Josephus. Josephus from Bowie. How you doing?
Hey, Josephus, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. My thing is, when we talk about crime, why is it not the white collar crime reported on the same level as what I would call street crime, which is a euphemism for black crime, number one.
Right.
Two, the food, the farmers suggested that food is rotten in the fields. Mr. Boyd out in Virginia, a black farmer, has a farm. Why let the food rot? People like myself are willing to go out there and pick this food, even though I might need a wheelchair, and get this food to some viable outlet. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Thank you for your call, Josephus. Thank you. Next caller, please. We're trying to get everybody on before we end the show. You're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. Yes, sir. I want to say this real quick. It is what it always been, and it's still today. The number one organizing principle in any society is for war. The authority over the state, over its people, relies in its war power. Eisenhower warned us about the industrial prison complex. So they're limiting your opportunity, either military or prison, and they're going to use the brothers in prison for the cheap labor to build the country like they've always do, cheap labor, and they're going to do it with the Latinos. They're going to do it with the Latinos. It's all been a trick and a trap, and what's going on right now in Venezuela is nothing but here we go again with Dick Cheney and the boys lying and conniving to go and take those people oil. What just happened, Brother Roach, in Trinidad, America had a vessel in Trinidad, and they just caught two CIA agents trying to sink the ship, and they made them, or however they made them, tell on themselves that they was to do that and blame it on Venezuela to justify sending troops in there. So they're still up to their same tricks. Now they jumped over to Nigeria saying they're killing Christians. Yeah. The leader of Nigeria said that's a damn lie, and so they could go take those people oil. So it's the same tricks that it's always been, brother. Ain't nothing changed but the weather.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate your comments. Thank you. You take our next caller. You're on air, please. Question or comment? You're on air.
Yes, hello. Yes, I'd like to say that I suggest that you get some of the young people next month on the second hour so they can talk to us. Thank you.
That's a good suggestion. We'll do that, brother. Thank you. We need that.
Yes, you're correct. Yes.
Hit it right on the head. All right, next caller, question or comment, please. We're trying to get everybody on before we leave.
Good morning.
You're on air.
Larry Watson. Hello?
Hello, you're on.
How you doing? Yeah.
Hello.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Larry Watson.
You say Larry Watson?
Yeah, optimistic gentlemen and ladies.
I don't know you, Turkey.
Yeah, and a member of Cruz also. And a member of 100 Fathers. But look, my point is, in each ward, there's a community center. The old heads need to go to the community center, and we need to advertise whoever's in that district, in that ward, right, to get kids out to there. That way we can teach them and learn them in a set environment. Because if we don't teach our kids now, they're going to fall by the wayside. Because
you're right.
The system is set up for that to happen, you know. But I listened earlier what Kamal was saying. I'm a good biased book, but that's important that we take that and we put this information to these kids while they're young.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
very important, man. And I commend you, both and Mertin, for the work that y'all do. Y'all are truly community activists. And maybe we can do a group again. Well, we went down there to the Wilson building, and we demand those council people to give us some of the resources that we need.
That's a good idea you suggest. Yes. In fact, Watson, that came up in the Cruz meeting that we need to have, like you say, Ambrose Lane been doing the working with the kids over in the youth center, him and Ray Savoy. We need to take one or two of them community centers and be stationed there so the kids know that they're there. If they have any problems or they need to talk to somebody, here's a safe place that they can come to. And at the same time, we can give them resources and help. Because to be ignored and disregarded is like saying you don't exist. And that's what we're telling these kids. They don't exist except for us to punish them and tell them what to do, what not to do. Right. But they don't ask the kids, what is it we can do to help you? So we need that. And we got the optimistic gentleman. You got Cruz. You got Kamal Ali. You got it's time for us all to get involved.
Yeah.
Tyrone Barber. You got Juju now with One Flag.
Right.
You got folks all over the city doing this work. So what you suggested, Larry Watson, is a winner, and we need to get on that, man. And thank you for calling in, you turkey, you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, Larry Watson. We'll take our next caller. We got two callers before we leave. Take the next caller, please.
Hello?
Hello, you're on air.
Hello, my name is Andrew. And I would just like to say, after all I've been hearing, is that we have to learn how to pray more. Because in the physical, it is only a mirror image of the spiritual. And we have to focus on that, because once we get that together, then all things will come into focus and we will all have a better life. Because that is the key we overlook.
You're right, Andrew.
That's
thank
right.
you.
And thank love you. And respect.
I'll be taking the next caller. You're on air. Next caller.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Hank from Hampton Road.
Your name is? Okay.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? So, as a quick comment, I believe that we have to do a bit better with outreach to the children, to the youth. We have to relate to them the way how they see things now. It's going to be, and a lot of it's going to be through technology. So, if you want to increase the population, youth population in these community centers, we have to reach out in a way that intrigues them. And then once we intrigue them, they get more to come in, then we start to introduce them to other things that are even more important. We're talking about financial education. We're talking about things that, as far as emergency preparedness, that they need to learn right now, because it stands right now, the things that we're witnessing right now throughout the country and throughout the world, that is something that's significantly important. As somebody, as a 20-year veteran myself right now, I'm telling you, and working in the government right now, I'm telling you that emergency preparedness is something that we have to teach our youth and beyond. And aside from that, as far as any benefits that are being cut right now.
You said you're a veteran of what, the military?
Yes, I'm a Navy vet.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Are you based here in D.C.?
No, I'm not based in D.C. I'm actually based, right now I'm actually down in Suffolk and Hampton Roads.
Okay, you calling from Hampton Roads, Virginia?
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wonderful, yeah.
You hit it right on the head, man. We got to deal with our tears.
Yes,
thank you for calling in. You take our next caller.
Got to love
get off the air. Our next caller, please.
Love and respect.
Okay. Well, that was our last call. I want to thank you for the brother from Hampton Roads.
Yeah.
In fact, we were down there a few weeks ago in Richmond, in that area, for a program. Man, I am disappointed that why every time you look at the news or read the paper, there's some legislators proposing a bill to ostracize, penalize, and institutionalize our young people. Like they are born criminals. And if anybody's being ignored, disregarded, disrespected, and being told what to do, and I go down to the wharf, I don't want to go in there. Man, I don't have the money to go into some of these places. And I know these kids don't have it. But why you got all that wanted to call to say how this beautiful to trash and all this modernistic stuff, futuristic, expensive, and you got to stand on the outside and keep looking in? We're tired of standing on the outside looking in. We want to be on the inside looking out.
Yes.
And our kids need this, and they need jobs. So all you business owners are listening, and folks walking through the streets, when you see 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, walk over to them.
Yes.
Hey, say, hey, brothers, how y'all doing? What can we do to help? We got to break the ice, man, because our tomorrows depend on them. And they're locking up our tomorrows today. Our kids are being locked up today, so they won't be able to help or take care of their families tomorrow. So, folks, we ask you for suggestions and recommendations for future shows. And what we got was most people talked about the kids, youth employment, opportunities, jobs. Wow, we being targeted. We know that racism plays a big part in all of this. But as Mertine said, we have the power. We can make it happen. It's up to us. And as Kamal Ali said, I guess on the first hour, you can do whatever you want to do if you believe you can. Don't let nobody deter you. All these bad breaks and hard luck you get, that's only to clear the way for something to come down for another day. Being broke, being out of luck, being backed up against the wall, being stepped on, don't mean nothing, but you're learning from them lessons. Take them lessons. There's a guy that we always talk about who was born blind in Cleveland, Ohio. He didn't have no eyes. And he could ride a bicycle by himself. He could walk down the street by himself. He could walk across the street. He could do anything you and I can do with no eyes. And the way he did it was he did what bats do. He put out a sound, a clicking sound. And when the sound vibrated off of that object, he adjusted his course. So there's another guy who was born with no arms and no legs. He's from Poland. And he had no arms and no legs. And he go around the world giving speeches. And he could jump in the swimming pool with no arms and no legs. Somebody went down to the department store and said, I'm going to buy something. What you want me to get you? He said, get me 2 pairs of pants and 2 pairs of shoes and a sport coat. He didn't have no arms and no legs. He said, what you need? A sport coat, suit, and shoes. He said, you never know what tomorrow will bring. Don't give up. I don't care how tough it is. I had life. I was in a sane asylum. I was paralyzed. Lady, I was below the bottom of the deck. But all you have to do is believe you can do it. Don't give up. And we need to reach our youngsters, because if we don't reach them, they're reaching. At the first hour, we said that the government is building 50 more detention facilities. 50 before the end of the year. Here we in November. We got less than 60 days. And they talk about, I know they can't build that many in that short period of time, but the bottom line is they're talking about incarcerating our youth. Please, people, do something. When you see these kids walking in, talk to them, walk over to them, invite them to your church.
Think about your life, what you did. I was diagnosed with leukemia in 1999, and I had to have a bone marrow transplant in order to live. My sister Ayo was my savior. That's why I'm alive. She gave me bone marrow. So think about what you've been through, and God brought you through. He's still there. He's just waiting on us to call on him and lean on him.
Yes. So this is our second hour of our two-hour broadcast that we do every first Tuesday. Because of the COVID, we used to have breakfast. So now we're getting back to that. So if you want to join us on the first Tuesday of each month from 10 to 12, you're welcome to come to 10, 1001 H Street. H is in Henley, at Ben's Chili Bowl. And you can sit down and have breakfast and join the audience to be a part of our live listening audience. So this is available for anybody. You can come to Ben's Chili Bowl. If you got any suggestions, ideas, or future shows or topics, please, Mertine and I will give them to the engineer, and we'll do our darnest to get you on the air and get that show aired. Because, folks, our life is at stake. This is our country. America belongs to all of us. And again, all them men and women who are coming out of jail, them men is coming out right now, you can't get food stamps. You can't apply for it, depending on what state you're in and what your crime was. Certain drug offenses, you are not allowed to get food stamps or SNAP assistance for the rest of your entire life. And South Carolina is one of the few states that have a lifetime ban on people with criminal records for certain offenses who cannot apply or be eligible to receive food stamps or the SNAP program. So this has been Crossroads with Mertine, my wife, Nikichi. Our first guest is Kamal Ben Ali. And we want to thank you for listening, and tune into us again next Tuesday for people all around the world. And keep Brother Rick from Germany in your prayers. He calls in every week.
Grew up in Berry Farm, D.C. native.
We pray for you. Until next week, we'll see you next Tuesday. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Has come and gone in a world where I don't belong. Another week has passed me by. It's not because I didn't try. Nobody saw. Before they notice me, another job that I just can't get, a nice apartment the landlord just won't rent. I go to bed, but my sleep just won't come. My belly's empty and my brain is numb. Nobody saw me walking, and nobody heard me talking. Seems like I gotta do wrong before they notice me. Seems like I got to
sure they notice me. I go to bed, but my sleep just won't come. My belly's empty and my brain is numb. Nobody saw me walking, and nobody heard me talking. Seems like I gotta do wrong before they notice me.
The Soul of West Africa lands at Brentwood Arts Exchange's Listening Room on Friday, November 7th at 8 p.m. with Cheikh Amala Jabate, a master of the Ngori, the traditional West African lute. Jabate weaves stories through rhythm and song, blending ancient sounds with a modern spirit that moves both heart and feet. Details at pgparks.com. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Sego, this is John Kane, and I want to invite you to join me right here on WPFW on Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native. I will deliver guests and commentary each week on the real-life issues facing Native people. No romanticizing and no Hollywood stereotypes here. We'll talk real history and culture and life as it is and as it should be. Our shows are available as podcasts on your favorite podcast platforms and as videos on our Let's Talk Native TV YouTube channel. Find links and more at our website, www.letstalknative.com. And I'll see you here Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native with John Kane.
Our problem is that we got too many folk in the middle who are lukewarm. Indifference, the evil's more insidious than evil itself.
That's Cornel West speaking on behalf of a mobilization this Wednesday, November 5th, the one-year anniversary of Trump's election. As Trump shreds the rule of law, sends the military into our streets, and terrorizes brown-skinned people, we are facing fascism. This is why on November 5th at 11 a.m. at the National Monument on the National Mall, RefuseFascism.org, Flair, The Handmaid's Army, Now, and many others will declare the Trump fascist regime must go now. This protest and march will kick off a sustained, nonviolent movement that grows from thousands to millions, not stopping until the people's resistance creates such a profound political crisis that Trump is removed from power. Again, the protest is at 11 a.m., Wednesday, November 5th, at the National Monument on the National Mall. More information is available at RefuseFascism.org.
The Capital Area Food Bank is offering free food distribution for federal workers starting now until the government reopens. Federal employees and contractors will need to show a government work ID to receive food. Distribution times and sites are as follows. Tuesdays, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at No Limits Outreach Ministries, 7721 Barlow Road, Hyattsville, Maryland. Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at So What Else, 6116 Executive Boulevard, North Bethesda, Maryland. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at United Community, 7511 Fordston Road, Alexandria, Virginia. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Urban Outreach, 5343 C Street, Southeast, Washington, D.C. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Linda Ben Foundation, 10739 Tucker Street, Beltsville, Maryland. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
On Tuesday, November 4th at 6 p.m., WPFW and Bus Boys and Poets presents The Collision, where sports and politics collide, live at Tacoma Bus Boys and Poets, located at 235 Carroll Street Northwest. Your hosts, Etan Thomas, Chuck Modiano, and Dave Zirin, will be speaking with sports writing legends David Aldridge and Kevin Blackstone, educator, activist, and critical race scholar Dr. Angel Jones, and two youth poets, Jasmine Owens from UMD and Linaya Dowdell from Howard. That's a live collision, Tuesday, November 4th, at the Tacoma Bus Boys and Poets, located at 235 Carroll Street Northwest. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.